So, Roland, talk a bit about the new live album you have that just came out, Keep Your Dream Alive, and talk to the fans about it, and give us the rundown on the album.
Song comes out, came out today. Today is like in Europe release date, and so it's a live DVD called Keep Your Dream Alive, and it's the first DVD or live DVD for Masterplan. Even we recorded many stuff in the past, even in the beginning of our career. But it's my first, I could say, live performance since the Halloween High Life album. So it's kind of nice feeling to see something is going on. And I was going to watch it yesterday because I just 2 days I released a DVD and I didn't see the bonus material which Axel was creating. So all the private stuff behind the stage, and so it's kind of cool to see that, you know. And I hope the fans will like it, so I'm kind of proud about it.
So what can the fans look forward to on this upcoming live DVD and CD that you have coming out?
I wish we would have more of this kind of private stuff, because I'm a fan of these kind of, you know, when I watch a band, I want to see more behind-the-scenes stuff instead of this normal concert. You know, that's how I am. But we have a couple of stuff from Asia, like some footage as well, something from the travel, some funny stuff from Prog Power Festival as well. We have one song on it, and from Bakken, so all the cool stuff. But we have the whole concert from Czech Republic, the Masters of Rock. We did 2.5 years ago. Last year we recorded the Bakken concert, which was just 1 hour. So we have 5 songs, I guess, or 6 from Bakken. Then China, we have 2 songs. These are the same songs we played already in Masters of Rock. So it's more or less a bonus material. And one special song which we played later was in Prog Power, was Black Knight of Magic. So this song, something new. So this was just once we played it, and it's always in our live performance now, but not in the beginning when we started playing like 2-3 years ago.
Well, Black Knight of Magic is actually one of my favorite songs on the last Masterplan album, which is interesting that you didn't play it live that much, but you know, to me it's one of the stronger songs on the last album.
Yeah, so it's like people were asking for, and then I thought, okay, let's get it in and to our, you know, how we call it, our, you know, live performance, and so we rehearsed it later. And now for South America, we have even, not from the new album, but a couple of more songs, so because we want to be not repeating ourselves for 2-3 years, always playing the same songs. And we're headlining in South America next week for 12, 13 shows, I guess. And so we're adding a couple of more songs, even one song from Halloween. I wrote The Chance, you know, so we want to play it first time live with Masterplan, because we're creating, I guess I told you some months ago, mm-hmm. We want to make this re-recording of my written Halloween songs, and we started already recording drums, so it will come maybe out next year, late spring, early summer, something like that.
Well, you brought up the re-recording of some of the Halloween songs before, and The Chance is still probably one of my favorite songs that you ever wrote for that band, even though it was on the first album that you wrote with, that you were on with them, that you recorded with them. But, you know, talk a bit about that, because I know Michael Kiske re-recorded all of his songs from the Halloween era, at least a lot of them. And do you plan on doing the same thing? Do you plan on re-recording all of your songs? And talk a bit about that upcoming project that you have coming up, re-recording a lot of the old Halloween songs that you wrote when you were in Halloween.
I think first I was a bit disappointed that they never played any songs of mine. I think the plan was they didn't want it. You know, it's not that they're not good enough or something. But the same is with Uli Kusch, his songs. So they never played anything from the former members which left. The same was in the beginning when I joined the band. They never played Kai Hansen's song till we said in the band, everybody wants to hear, I want out, you know, in future world. And so I said, okay, now it's time. I waited 10 years or 12, 13 years, and I think now it's a good time to re-record them, maybe in a new kind of, you know, sound. Especially Master Plan sound more heavier, more darker, or more brutal. But we also maybe like to add some orchestration on it, you know, to make it more interesting. Mm-hmm. Not just re-recording it and that's it, you know. We want to make a new picture, but not like Halloween did. They made some best of album and they made everything funny sounding and poppy.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the album like 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, the unarmed, thing.
So we want to make really something strong with this old songs of mine. And I agree, a lot of stuff is really cool, like The Chance, Dark Ride, Escalation 666, Time of the Oath, Mr. Eagle, everything fits totally to Master Plan because it's very heavy, some of the stuff, very modern compared to the typical Halloween style. And so it fits very good to us. And maybe in the future we play a couple of more songs. And now the set list, you know.
To me, some of the stronger material you wrote, too, that I really loved was on the Chameleon album. And the song Music, in particular, was a track that I just loved. And I loved the bluesy feel of that song.
Yeah, the song is funny. It's, a lot of people like it now. So it's like when they said, when they choose the best songs for this album, you know, many fans wrote me this. And they always mentioned Music. And yeah, it's also one of my favorite songs, but this song was already written for Rampage, my first band, you know, so mm-hmm. I was singing on it, and it was a kind of same feeling, very blues. It's a very bluesy song, and a lot of, I think, real classic work, because at the Chameleon album, me and Michael Kiske, we were a big Stevie Ray Vaughan fan, and I like to create this kind of sound, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jimi Hendrix, and Brian May, you know, this was the biggest influence on the Chameleon album. So I really created a, like I went to center this kind of harmony guitar, so I use the same guitar, the same equipment. And I still like to do this now, you know, so even the rhythm guitars will be very heavy sounding. But I go back to my strut for most of the album. I want to keep the vibe of the solo guitar, especially what I did in Halloween, you know. And a lot of people still asking for my strut sound, and I think I like to use the strut a lot, many times. Not always, maybe, but I think more than on an average Master Plan album.
Well, you know, talking about your old sound, your old guitar sound, you know, using the strats and stuff like that, I really think that when you transitioned during the Dark Ride sessions to the Gibsons and started kind of playing more darker material, I think that your songwriting that's had a little more of a darker feel to it, a darker edge to it, I think that part of, you know, I always say to myself, that part of Roland's playing is the part that I truly and totally love a lot more than, say, what you did in the past. And, you know, that's just me. That's just how I like the way that you have evolved. But I really like the kind of the darker side of things that you've written over the years.
I think it was a natural process because of all the time in Halloween I was trying to search and to fight myself, you know. As everybody knows, you know, I was a big indie fan at that time, and then I had a big discussion with the Halloween members. Really big talk for many, many months. It was Roy Z. And somehow everybody was telling me, you know, I'm just copying somebody, you know. Okay, maybe I was very insecure in the beginning because I replaced Kai Hansen. And, you know, he was not my kind of idol guitar player, so even many people say he's God, but for me, it's just, you know, I search for higher level, you know. I just search for Ingrid Malmsteen, for Richie Blackmore, Michael Schenker, these kind of, you know, John Sykes. So this is kind of influences I see for myself, you know. And hey, on this kind of level. And even, I don't want to compare myself to these people, but I want to be inspired by those kind of guitar players.
Mm-hmm.
And Halloween, I always thought maybe it's cool, you know, like this neoclassical style. But this is totally over. After this discussion, something in my head, you know, woke up again. And everybody told me, hey, be yourself. I mean, Mikey Halloween because he liked my style when I was beginning of 20s in Rampage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at that time I was already a fan of Tigers of Pantang and John Sykes and Thin Lizzy and all these bands, and of course Mark Farner, and my biggest German guys influence, you know, Uli Roth and Michael Schenker. And this is what was very melodic, so very, very heavy melodic, you know, melody sound. But rhythm-wise, I was a big fan of this, I think, the album called 86, 87 from Whitesnake, mm-hmm. with John Sykes. And I love this guitar sound so much, you know, so I thought also, okay, this is something which would fit maybe for Masterplan, you know, something like The Dark Ride with my old heroes connected somehow, you know, this kind of thing. And like I said, when we had this fight on the Dark Ride session or recordings, I totally changed myself, you know, something woke up and I don't want to go back anymore. So I love the Stratocaster, but not for this neoclassical sound. Mm-hmm. I love a lot of solo stuff, guitars I did for Halloween. And it's a copy, it's my style, but the sound was the influence I liked so much, you know.
Well,
and like I said, I'm still a big Stratocaster fan, like you know, Richard Blackmore. Well, some of the indie stuff is still cool, you know, the sound. But it's cool to find yourself and to be comfortable with it, you know.
Well, you know, I always look at you and I look at the transition you had, and I always bring this up. I bring it up on the show. I've talked about it in past interviews with you, and I even brought this up to Roy Z when I interviewed him one time in the show. And that is, I think that he had a major influence on you, and he had a major, he was part of the turning point that really changed you for the better, as far as being a player goes. And then, you know, the next avenue of that was Andy Sneap, you know, influencing you as a record producer. And I'm not saying you copy his sound or anything like that, but I am saying that, you know, the man seems to have had an influence on you, and that's what's enabled you to come and, you know, go and produce some of these really pretty good sounding records that you put out.
Yeah, it's definitely Andy Sneap was a big influence for me, because I chose him as a producer for the first two albums, and I learned a lot from him, and also, of course, before The Dark Ride. So I just started being interested more in the production side, you know, and then I pushed him to the, you know, we searched, I guess, for the first album, we searched 2 weeks or 10 days for the right guitar sounds, you know. I thought, happy with the Dark Ride, and we need to find something which is my style, you know, with the equipment I have. So I'm not the kind of gear junkie anymore. I'm not buying any guitars anymore. I just use the stuff I have already since 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I have my favorite two Les Pauls, a black one, which I'm not using live anymore. So I just use it in the studio. And my live guitar, everybody knows this one, you know. And I have a couple of more, but you know, not in the top, you know, range, how we can say. I'm not using them so much, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like totally different. I mean, people come with a guitar here, and I always tell them, hey, keep it in your case. It's not as good as mine. Believe me, you know. And, but there's so many new stuff on the market, like amplifiers and some that, you know, but most of the sound comes from my guitar and from my fingers, and it's not so much about pedals or amplifiers, so it's not important anymore for me.
Well, I think what's great too is that the sound of the albums you're putting out as a producer and as a sound engineer, I think that stuff all sounds very good.
I think it's the biggest passion, you know. That's always something in my career I was totally focused on, and in Halloween was about guitar playing. So I was also in love with singing, and I'm still a little bit back to the singing side. Because maybe I sing on this Masterplan re-recording Halloween songs a lot of parts because of the cleaner stuff of Mikey Kiske and so forth. And but my biggest passion in the moment is really producing bands, you know, to get a great sound. I'm so happy when I'm mixing an album or recording. It's also important, of course. And you think from the beginning till the end, and you feel like, wow, finally I did everything right, you know. And you can get a lot of tricks from famous producers like Andy Sneap or, you know, Chris Tsangarides and Michael Wagner and the mixing guy from Finvox Studio, Nico Camilla. But you have to do all your mistakes first, you know. It doesn't matter if they tell you the tricks, you know. You're not making it right in the beginning. It's the same like a singer, you know. A lot of famous singers tell other people how to do it, but you have to keep it in your head or in your mind and still making all the mistakes before you make it right, you know. Maybe the same with guitar. I don't remember that anymore. It's too long, but a lot of mistakes with mixing bands. But now I get more and more secure and feel very comfortable with this. And I'm happy that people ask me to do this because it's mm-hmm. it's kind of stable income, you know, because music business is quite heavy to survive about it, you know, and my studio keeps me kind of happy, you know.
Yeah. Well, talk a bit about this Titans of Metal tour you're doing, or the show, or whatever it's called. Because you're doing a big thing with a whole bunch of different musicians, and talk a bit about doing that and that event that's going to be coming up here for you.
I mean, for me, it's really an honor that somebody asked me, like the promoter, if I can be a part of it, you know. And then I saw the people who are going there, like Ralph Shapers. I mean, Ralph is just a cool friend of mine, and to be honest, he gave me one vocal lesson some 2 months ago on Skype, and I will see him in December again. So I just agreed on it. I just signed the contract today, to be honest, and sent it back. And so the flights will be booked in 1 month. And so we do even a second show now in Cyprus. And it's cool that, you know, like I said, that I'm a part of it. And but there are so many musicians. I guess I just play 6 songs or 7 songs. That means it's not even Masterplan songs or Halloween songs. It's really like some Judas Priest, some cover songs.
Mm-hmm.
I gave, I don't know, some Rasmus, I guess. So it's, I think it's one song. Yeah, something like this. What's the song called? Blah Blah Train, I forgot.
So
heavy song from Jack White kind of song.
So who are you looking? So like you know you're looking at the you mean Crazy Train?
Crazy Train, yeah. That's the one. Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff I play. I just saw it and I said, oh, cool. Nobody asked for Masterplan songs, you know. But I have mostly, I guess, Ralph Shapers is singing the songs,
mm-hmm.
and I think one Gamma Ray song was also in the list. I'm not sure if it's still there. And but it would be a lot of fun to see all these famous guys, you know, Ripper Holmes, and I mean, this is an amazing list. I mean, I don't know how many, 30 people come there, you know. It would be cool to see them all.
Yeah, that's a
hang out.
It's a pretty interesting, and it's a pretty interesting list of people, because there's a versatile, I mean, it's a very versatile list of people because, you know, you have Ralph Shapers, and then you go from him to, say, Chuck Billy from Testament, or, you know, you got...
Yeah, Chuck Billy. Billy, I mean, I saw him, like, 15 years ago last time, so, you know, it would be nice to see him again. I'm a big fan of Testament. And,
yeah.
And also Graham Bonnet is there, totally different, you know, old Rainbow singer. That's awesome, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at him. I was looking at... You know, they have Matt Slevin, they have Ripper, they have, you know, Sean Peck from Cage. And
yeah, and then John Ross is there, so it would be fine to see him again.
Now, have you started working on a new Masterplan album? I know you got a tour coming up, and you're going to be playing some shows, but have you started working on a new record yet, writing any songs or recording anything?
Yeah, I think the last tour we did there was 12 years ago with Gamma Ray, and so it's amazing to come back after such a long time, you know. Maybe many things change, I don't even know. I was so many times in South America with Halloween and also with my solo band. And then we did the Gamma Ray shows 12 years ago. In 2005, I was a special guest with the Tribuzi project in Brazil. It was, you know, Bruce Dickinson and Roy Z. And it was the last time I was in Brazil, so it's a long time. And I heard also there a lot of things changed, but I hope that we have a lot of fans and friends meeting there and a lot of fun, you know.
I think Rick Alzi fit the band really well, and I like the way he sounds on all of these songs, and you know, and he fits really well. So talk about his contribution so far and what it's like to have Rick in this band.
It's really nice. It's so easy to work with him, and Rick is such a nice guy, unbelievable. The whole lineup is now perfect, you know, it's just so relaxing, you know. And he's, like I said, easy to work with. When I say, do you have time? I mean, he has a job. He's also a driving teacher, you know, for motorbikes in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he's able to tour the whole winter time, which is now starting in October. So from October to March, April, we are able to make a lot of touring, and that's what we're going to do now. So we go on two tours now. After South America, we play Germany again for around 13, 15 shows. And then in March, we go aiming for 10 shows and as a headliner. And there's more and more coming, and always he says, yeah, let's do it. And it was so difficult in the past, you know, nothing against Jorn. I love this guy, and we're still friends, but, you know, we couldn't plan anything, and now we have this lineup also with Yari kind of lining, and he's always like, yeah, let's go out, man, let's rock, you know. So it's such a beautiful feeling, and it's like friends going out and rocking together and have some fun. That's very important. And the same in the studio. The work with Rick is very easy and very creative, and we can hang out. We have always a couple of meetings. And we talk a lot about business on tour, on the tour bus, or when we're together. We're also calling each other, so that was not happening before, you know. So he calls me minimum once a week,
mm-hmm.
and what's going on, what's new, or he has some ideas, you know. So
yeah.
It's very nice to communicate with him, you know.
Well, it's such a great fit because, you know, I listened to how he sounded on the newer last Masterplan album, and, you know, I honestly think that you guys became better as a band on that album than, say, you were on Time to Be King, and I think part of that is Rick's personality and the fact that he performs so well on that record.
Yes, it's nice to hear, man. So it's like last album was still a complicated situation because we wrote most of the stuff still for Jorn, but now we're planning the next album to really do whatever we wanted, you know, to go back to the roots, some double bass stuff, some crazy stuff again, aggressive stuff, you know, not thinking about only keeping our former singer happy and not to make too much, you know, double bass or metal stuff. And I love Time to Be King. It was an amazing good album, you know, but a lot of people lost the first two albums the most, and that's what we realized. We play a lot of songs from the live as well, from the first two albums, and Rick is really good singing this old stuff, and that's why we thought it's time now. A lot of people still complaining, you know, new album, former lineup, MK2 with Mike DeMeo, blah blah, too much talking, and I said now it's time to show the people, you know, which didn't see us live,
mm-hmm.
On the DVD and listening to the stuff on YouTube, whatever, that it's fitting, you know. A lot of people, 90%, say, wow, this is amazing, I didn't expect that, you know. That he's so good filling the old songs, and it's fitting. And I'm really excited about the next studio album. I mean, even about the re-recording Halloween songs, but the next studio album, we have really on ourselves high expectation, and we really want to kick ass again, you know.
Something about the re-recordings. Have you thought about asking Michael Kiska to sing on one of those songs?
Of course I asked him. I met him last year, September, when we toured with Ed Guy, and Unisonic was playing on one show together with us. And I talked to him, and he said, no, I can't do it. It's too many projects. I do Avantasia, and I do Unisonic, and some other, I don't know, Kiska Summer Will and this and that, but he said immediately no, and, you know, maybe I'll try once more, but if somebody doesn't want, and if it's too much money, it's also not possible, because we don't have any budget for this kind of album. We just want to do it, you know. We make music because I have a studio, I can mix it for free.
Yeah.
And AFM said, okay, we will push it. The DVD is not so much, you know, action from the record label, because it's just like a best-of or something, like a live album.
Yeah.
Not doing the same power like on the normal average studio album.
Yeah.
But I hope that the re-recorded Halloween songs will be a little bit pushed, because I really believe we do something good there.
So going forward, when do you plan on maybe having the next record out?
We started already a little bit working on it, but to be honest, we're not that far, because now I started it. We did just the drums for the Halloween re-recording, After the tour in December, I play all the guitars. I'm finishing the guitars, keyboards, and bass. And maybe January beginning, or maybe Rick can sing already in December as mm-hmm. well. So, but the album should be finished end of January and then deliver it to AFN. And they need minimum 3 months releasing it, you know.
Gotcha.
That's always the plan, to make the promotion perfect and everything. The next level will be then concentrating on the studio album. That means we have, I think, 5 ideas already. But of course, like I told you, I push myself. I want to be really back on the track to make really strong again and to surprise the people, and that they all shut up and say, "Oh my God, this band is still rocking," you know. And so maybe end of next year, album release of the studio album, or January 2017, something like that.
Well, I would have thought they would have shut up on the last album you put out. But, you know, that's just me, I guess.
No. I have higher, I want to be, like, raw, you know, like, really good and powerful and surprising, you know. Because we had too many conversations before we did the last album, you know, and this wasn't with Rick, it was with Jorn, and there was, it's always limiting you to some level, you know.
So, do you have any last words for your fans that are going to be checking out this interview on my radio show?
So, yeah, so I'm really happy that we did this interview with an old friend of mine. So, it's like, you didn't ask so much about Halloween, so I just like to tell you that I met the guys again a couple of times, and we played together in Finland, and I met them even here in my home in Slovakia, so on the festival.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to them, and we're all good friends again, so I'm really happy about that I speak with Andy Darius and Mikey and Marcus again, and everything's fine. So I'm definitely, you know, it's nice to have this feeling back. It's also good for songwriting, for being creative.
Yeah.
And like I said, we have many plans with Master Plan now, and in the meantime, don't take it just for recording albums, but we're also touring next year, many festivals, I guess.
Yeah, you know.
So next year will be very exciting for us about this re-recorded Halloween album and this new studio album. So
it
will be really
it kind
busy
of,
and hopefully very creative. And looking forward to meet you all on this tour.